unless you've been locked up in your house for the last while, if you get out into this community, there's a lot of things going on. If you drive around, you can see from east to west, a whole lot of activity going on. And I have been very, very vocal and supportive of growth within Pella. So when I say that, I hear from people that don't want growth. They want their, people grew up in Pella as a small little town and they want it to stay that way. So when they email me that, that's a great discussion to have. That's an opportunity for debate, you know. Should we try to grow this community or should we try to keep it the way it is? And so I like those kind of discussions. The other thing that I've been very active in is having the city be proactive and trying to help some of this stuff happen. Again, I hear from people that say that's not the city's role. Hey, fine. That's a debate we can have. And I'm sure whoever wants to disagree with me has reasons why. I've got reasons why. But there's also a tremendous amount of misinformation that's going on out there. And so that's going on one of two ways. One way is that someone just doesn't understand how some of these things work. Hey, that's okay, then it's our responsibility to educate the public so that people understand. The other is that it's being told by someone that knows the truth, but decides they'd rather not tell the truth. So that's pretty disheartening to me. If you want to have a debate, let's have a debate. Don't go out there spreading false information about projects or things like that that are not true and you know they're not true. So the other thing that's really disheartening to me is as I listen to some of the forums and some of the discussion, suddenly the Pella Corporation and the Pella Corporation family through RDP and GenLink have become evil. Somehow they're trying to take advantage of this community. I've lived here for 41 years, 42 years actually. I can't think of anybody that's done more for this community than the Pella Corporation or the Pella family. So I've invited Stan and Mike to come tonight and just talk a little bit about what the motive is and what they're doing because they need to be able to defend themselves to some of this stuff that's going on. So I'm inviting Stan to speak. And Stan, you can have as much time as you need.
All right, thanks, Don. Man, you want to flip the lights? I'm 50 years old. I didn't bring my readers.
I have a pair here.
I like them. I think I'll be okay. All right, Stan Van Wyk, 2622 Himmel Drive here in Pella. I've lived in Pella my entire life. I went to Central College. I raised my family in Pella. My parents and my grandparents were also raised in the Pella area. I wasn't going to mention this, but I do know a little bit of Dutch. Calvin Bansch and I have a chance to talk once in a while and share some of our phrases. I know enough to count to 10, ask you how you're doing, talk a little bit about the weather, and maybe even curse at you a few times. And the only thing that rivals my pride in the community of Pella is the pride that I have in having 25 years of experience working for Pella Corporation and the Sherrill family. I'm here tonight to provide information regarding investments that the entire Sherrill family is making in the community. The family typically prefers to stay in the background. They don't look to take credit for all the things that they're doing behind the scenes. However, due to the misinformation and confusion, I reluctantly ask the family to breach their confidentiality and share facts with you today. GenLink and RDP Holdings are two entities that have been subject of confusion and misinformation. I am the CEO of GenLink, which is a family office that supports the shareholders of Pella Corporation. And I'm the manager of RDP Holdings. RDP Holdings is an entity created by the family, owned 100% by the family, for the purpose of facilitating community investments. Some of you may be wondering why the Pella Sherrill family is investing in the community. They don't even live here, right? I can assure you, the family, many of who were born and raised in Pella, cares deeply about and has a very vested interest in this community and its future. It's where Pella Corporation team members have lived, worked, volunteered, and contributed in a multitude of ways for over 95 years. Being a part of this special community is a source of pride for the family, for the community, and for its extraordinary team members. In February of 2018, Tim Yeagy, Pella's current president and CEO, came to Pella shareholders and expressed an urgent need to invest in the community. The purpose of these investments was to enable the company to attract and retain the talent necessary to support growth required to compete in a highly competitive industry. Let me say that again. The purpose of these investments was to enable the company to attract and retain the talent necessary to compete in a highly competitive industry. Over the past decade, Pella Corporation has far outpaced the population growth of our community. Growth is necessary for the health of the business and to ensure a sustainable future for our team members and the communities in which they live. Rather than place this initiative within Pella Corporation, it was decided to leverage GenLink, the family office, to drive these investments. Based on discussions with community leaders, other large employers, and focus groups, it was determined the primary areas of focus would be housing, childcare, and amenities. In the past 3 years, over $20 million net of any incentives or any anticipated return of capital has been poured into this community to ensure the community can support the company's continued growth. That is $20 million paid directly out of the pockets of our shareholders with no expectation of return other than making Pella a better place to live and work so that Pella Corporation can attract and retain the talent necessary to keep its headquarters in Pella. In addition, the Pella shareholders have committed to taking a percentage of company profits available for dividends and retained earnings each year to invest in the community on an ongoing basis to create a sustainable funding structure. Keep in mind, these are not company funds, but rather represent reinvestment of shareholder capital into the community. This has no impact on the company's profitability or team members' compensation. And note, this is also in addition to philanthropic efforts through the Roll Screen and Kuiper Foundations. This sends a strong message regarding Pella shareholder family's commitment to keeping its Pella headquarters here in Pella. Projects that have been completed or in process include, but are not limited to, Liberty Street Kitchen, South Main Housing Development, Prairie Ridge Housing Development, Prairie Ridge Commercial Development, which is where Smash Park will be located. Combining the Kinder Heights and Early Learning Center, along with significant remodel of the PRC facility that will provide fully accredited childcare for 194 children. A major upgrade to PRC Fitness Center, which just recently reopened. Main Street Market, as well as remodeling of homes at 307 Main Street and 515 Broadway. And I can assure you, there is more to come. One project that's been subject of miscommunication is Smash Park. Luke Ballinger, who grew up in Pella, approached the City of Pella, GenLink, as well as the Vermeer family about wanting to invest in bringing a Smash Park to Pella. This was a great example of cooperation between the City of Pella, the Pella shareholder family, and the Vermeer family. The city approved financial incentives. RDP Holdings sold 4.3 acres to Smash Park for $1, and the Vermeer family also contributed financial support. RDP Holdings is mentioned in the development agreement as receiving incentives. However, that is only because RDP Holdings own the land. Any incentives received by RDP Holdings from the city related to Smash Park will be given to Smash Park. This is the way the agreement was structured from the beginning. RDP Holdings contributed to the project by essentially giving away the commercial land. You may recall from the press release, Smash Park also plans to open and expand to Omaha, Minneapolis, Salt Lake City, and Phoenix. Based on that list, I think most people would understand why incentives that will be given to Smash Park as seed money were necessary to attract this exciting new amenity to Pella. And I am proud to have been a small part of that great accomplishment. Forgive me for repeating myself, but the return on all the community investments I just mentioned from a financial perspective will be negative. Thank goodness that is not how the family measures success. Rather, success is measured in terms of making Pella a better place to live and work, and the ability to attract and retain talent, and spurring other investments in the community. And by those measures, we are having success. Some people have claimed that these projects are being funded on the backs of Pella's taxpayers. I will defer to Mike Nardini, the mayor, and the city council, but my understanding is that all the projects have a positive financial impact on the community and the taxpayers. Any incentives that have been or will be funded, will be received by us, have been funded by property taxes coming from increased assessed values driven by the projects themselves. Thus, if the project never happened, the property taxes used to fund the incentives simply would not exist. Finally, I appreciate and understand the need to stay anchored in our heritage and our Dutch roots. There is great merit in preserving the character of our town and not underestimating the impact it has on tourism, as well as what it means to those of us who have been here our whole lives and those who have moved to Pella and embraced our heritage. Over the past few years, the Pella Sherwood family has provided significant financial support to the Pella Historical Society, the Pella Opera House, Pella Christian and Pella Community Schools, Central College, the Wanderspielen Playground, which just had its grand opening last weekend, and many other community organizations through the Roll Screen and Kuiper Foundations. The challenge is to strike a balance in bringing modern amenities and economic development to support our large employers without sacrificing the character of our town. With the right leadership, this can certainly be accomplished. On behalf of the Pella Sherwood family, myself personally, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the mayor and the council for their leadership and their service. I'm sure there are times where you feel unappreciated and maybe even disrespected. I want you to know that I respect each of you and believe that you're all fulfilling your role to the best of your abilities. And with that, I will leave you with the following story. Pella Corporation was founded in 1925, originally as Roll Screen, and was located in Des Moines, Iowa. Pete Kuiper commuted from Pella to Des Moines, and after a year of expanding production, the company had outgrown its original factory. In 1926, Pete wrote a letter to Pella's Chamber of Commerce to propose moving his business to Pella. Though he was eager to relocate the company to his hometown, he had no intention of bringing jobs to the community without financial consideration in return. Those considerations included a new plant to be built by the city and rented by Roll Screen for 5 years before purchasing, a $1,000 grant for moving expenses, an exemption from city and school taxes for 5 years. After careful consideration, the chamber unanimously approved the proposal. And as they say, the rest is history. If not for the foresight of those community leaders, Pella would not be the place it is today that so many of us love and appreciate. I would like to thank you for your time. If anyone has any additional questions about GenLink or RDP Holdings or any of the projects we are working on, my office is above the window store on the Mullen Drive. Feel free to come and see me, and thank you.
Thanks, Dan. And somehow these people are being portrayed as the bad guys. It's a long stretch for me. I want to touch on something that Stan said, and I've seen this in print, so I know that the story's out there, that the projects that we're involved in are somehow being, people are making money off that on the backs of the taxpayers. I'm gonna take the time to go through all the projects that are happening right now that the city's involved in to dispel that myth, if it's a myth, or a lie, if it's a lie. Because from some people's mouths, it's a lie. From other people's mouths, it might be just a misunderstanding how things work. So indulge me a second. I'll start with the Lely Urban Renewal Project. And if you've driven on, to the east on 163, you see to the south, Lely is building a new North American headquarters there. The cost of that new facility is $16 million. The city of Pella, in order to, for them to build out there, we need to extend the water main, construct a lift station, and associated forest main, and upgrade the road out in front of there. So how we funded that as a city is we issued a bond, a 20-year general obligation bond in the amount of $2,025,000 at an interest rate of 1.66%, which is unprecedented in the history of anywhere. But the question is, how is that bond going to be paid back? Is it going to be paid back by the taxpayers of Pella? No. It's being paid back by Lely because they've agreed to an $8 million minimum assessment agreement. And based on that assessed value, the TIF revenue, I should try to explain TIF, but I'm not going to go that deep into it. Just trust me that the TIF revenue from this new development, the $8 million minimum assessment, will pay back every dollar of principal and interest on that bond. And think of this, that's a 65-acre piece that Lely bought out there. They're going to use, I believe, 15 of it or 20 of it for their campus. And so now we've got all this industrial site ready to go. And you know what? If anything else comes out there, if any other businesses relocate there, and I think Lely has plans or has talked to other people that might come there, we will be able to, as a city, we will be able to capture all of that TIF from any other development that happens out there. So the $8 million minimum is sufficient to take care of what our investment is. Anything we get over and above that is going to be extra money. And I'm going to show you what that means in real dollars pretty soon. The second one, Boss Ridge and Boss Land and Estates. Boss Ridge development along the road out there past the golf course. Boss Estates is inside of Boss Landing. I don't know if anybody's been driven out there, but Boss Ridge is filling up quickly. Boss Land and Estates, the vintage estates are almost done. There's four new houses that are already being built on lots that were created through this. So the city approved $4.1 million of tax of TIF revenue rebates for these two projects. The total cost of the infrastructure to get these two projects was estimated at $4.8 million. And so what that means is for the next 15 years, all the property tax paid by those two developments only, nobody else in Pella. So if you buy a house in Boss Ridge, you buy a vintage estate, your property tax, the TIF portion of your property tax are going to go back to the developer as a rebate. But one of the other neat things about this for us as a community is there's this what's called LMI, low to moderate income. And so 36% of all of that TIF revenue is going to go into a fund that the city of Pella will have to use for housing initiatives in other parts of the community. So tell me how that's a bad deal. And the developer only gets whatever money's paid, not one dime more over the next 15 years. So based on how fast it builds and how fast it develops, that's what the developer is going to get, not one penny more than that. So every dollar of incentive that goes back to the developer comes from those developments and nowhere else. Okay? Prairie Ridge Residential Development. It's 93 lots with approximately 25 condo townhouse development on the west edge of town. Now, this is the greatest deal the city of Pella has ever got. There was $4.7 million of infrastructure cost to get that project, to build the streets, put in the sewer, and all of that. $4.7 million. City of Pella didn't give one dime to that. Marion County reimburse the developer for that. Because Marion County also understands exactly what Stan was talking about, how critical it is for us as a community to grow people, because we need people for the kind of jobs that we have. Marion County understands that. They stepped up to the plate and they said, you know what, we want to be involved in this project. We will reimburse for the infrastructure. They did the same thing on a project in Knoxville, because they get it. There's leadership there that gets it, what we're going to need. So that whole thing did cost us one dime. And the county will recapture their investment through the same type of TIF arrangement as we have in Boss Ridge and Boss Estates. They're going to collect the property taxes off of that, those houses that are built out there, the TIF part of the property tax, they're going to be able to use it because they floated a bond to pay for that. They'll retire that. All we are is a conduit for the money. The city had to be involved because it's inside the city limits. The specs required that all the infrastructure be built to city specs. Once that was done, they dedicated it to the city. So there are streets now. It's our streets, it's our lift station, it's our sewer out there, City of Pella. We didn't invest anything into that project. Prairie Ridge Commercial Development, which Stan mentioned, the Smash Park, and then also later a fast casual restaurant were part of this. So the city has pledged $4 million to that project in incentives. So when the day the Smash Park opens, it's built and open, the city will issue a bond that and give that bond to, as Stan said, to GenLink, who in turn is going to give it to Smash Park. When the restaurant is done, there's another $500,000 of TIF of bond that will go directly into that part of the project. And then after the $2 million bonds are paid off down the road, projections are it'll be 10 or 11, maybe 12 years to pay it off, then GenLink will get up to $2 million of TIF rebate at that point in time. So how are we paying for that? Well, the developer has agreed to a $7 million minimum assessment agreement. And so that will be sufficient. That will generate enough TIF revenue to pay the bond and pay the interest on the bond. And so nobody else anywhere in town is going to be supporting that project. Every dime that goes into that project is going to come back from the project. So the owners of Smash Park have agreed to a certain minimum assessment agreement. The restaurant is going to agree to a certain minimum assessment. They're going to pay property tax. The TIF portion of that property tax will pay the bond back. City of Pella, no money comes from anywhere else for those incentives. Now, we will, as a city, so full disclosure, so nobody can say I didn't tell you everything, we will be putting a turning lane and signals at the intersection out there. That's going to cost $300,000. Those funds are going to come from the city share of the federal gas tax and any future TIF revenues from the development. Because again, like the Laley project, if you don't think having a Smash Park in a restaurant is going to attract other business, then you just don't know how business works. Because there's going to be more business that's going to come into that area, into that urban renewal area. And when they do, the city can capture all of the TIF revenue to be used somewhere else. Because what we are guaranteed is going there is sufficient to take care of the incentives that are in the project. Okay, let's see, I got two more. South Main. South Main is a housing development down where the old school was. That was another TIF rebate, same as the Boss Ridge. Up to $6.1 million of TIF money can be rebated to the developer over the next 20 years, and that works exactly the same. The only people The only people that are going to pay for any of these incentives are the people that buy and live in those units. And everybody that buys in, buys a unit there knows before they buy it that there's a minimum assessed value on that piece of property. Because there's agreed minimum assessed value, so that over time, the developer can potentially get 6.1. Again, not one other taxpayer contributes $1 to any incentive off of that project. That project is, whatever that project produces, that's what the developer is allowed to get back from. And look at it this way. Think about what that used to look like, that property. It was deemed a blighted area. When this project's done, we're talking $16.5 million of development. If that isn't good for this community, then, you know, I give up. I can't think of a better use for that property than what's going to be here. So, last but not least, the Pella Market, which is directly across north to the of the South Main. And you see some construction happening there. Again, that's the same type of arrangement. There was incentives back to the developers, a TIF rebate. So we got to remember, in the Laley and the Prairie Ridge commercial, we actually are putting upfront money in, and we're going to get paid back through TIF. These two projects, South Main and Pella Market, the incentive money only comes back when the property tax is paid. So there's no money put up front. It comes back as the property tax is paid. And so in the case of the market itself is going to rebate its own property tax. And again, it's a $5 million development there. So there's no other taxpayer in Pella that contributes anything to any incentive on that project. I think we all benefit as a community from what the development is there. So those are all the current projects. And you know what? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the Vermeer campus rebuild. My mistake, I don't want to forget that. As you know, Vermeer had a tornado take out a couple buildings. They went ahead and invested in our community into an unbelievable new building. If you didn't get a chance to see it at their open house, it's hard to describe because it's an unbelievable facility. But that new building created new valuation. And so we don't feel like Vermeer should be penalized because of the storm taking out some older buildings being replaced with a new. So there's some abatement, property tax abatement in that situation so that they're not penalized for the additional investment they've made. Hopefully that makes sense. Again, it's taxes we won't collect, or we wouldn't have collected anyway if they hadn't had what happened, the new valuation is there. So, what do you think? So those are all the current projects that the city of Pella is involved in, and there's all kinds of other stuff going on that we aren't involved in. But this adds up to $130 million of development. We're a town of 10,500 people. We've got this isn't all of it, because there's a lot of other stuff going on. $130 million of development. I've been to a lot of towns in Iowa of 10,000 people, and they haven't had $130 million developments in the last 130 years. And so we have something very special here. And for us to make stuff up about how this is all happening, it's just appalling to me. Now, you might ask, what's our history with these kind of things? Because this is the good part. This is fun. So, we've had this before. We've done this before. 22 years ago, we had a pretty forth vision visionary council and mayor, and they said, hey, we need to do some things to spur some development. So in 2009, the Molengrat development happened, and that was a private, and I was a 20% owner in the private part of that, development. So that's 22 years ago. So I was not thinking about running for mayor at that point. Anyway, so that was a partnership between the city of Pella and private development. The city of Pella put $4 million into that project to construct the parking garage and construct the plaza area and the canal. The private side of that, we built all of those buildings. There's three-story buildings there because in order to make it work for the city, we had to get to evaluation that would support that $4 million investment. So we had to agree to a $10.5 million minimum assessment agreement, which at the time was gonna pay for the bond that was issued. So that was done, that one's done, it's expired. The bond's paid off, that urban renewal. And the great thing about TIF is it spurs development. This wouldn't have happened. I guarantee you that project would not have happened without the city doing what they did. But now that there's let's see, I think Mike gave me the number. There's $16.9 million of value there now. And guess where all the property taxes paid on all of that is going? To the county, to the school, to the city. So we had to wait 20 years because in the 20-year period, the TIF part of the taxes went to pay the bond off. But now that development is going right into the same tax, property tax rolls as every other piece of property. So the West Interchange Urban Renewal, located on the western edge of community near Exit 40. This area includes Ulrich Ford, Casey's, Friend Shop Village, and American. This also was, this one is also expired. This was over 20 years old. It expired in 2018. It generated $40 million of development, that part of the project. And so the city issued TIF rebates on that project to the developer to help spur development there. The Walmart commercial urban renewal, that expires in 2028, that's still going. $29.2 million valuation, and the city of Pella got a pretty good deal on this, constructed traffic lights, spent approximately $400,000 on this one. The South Gate, which is the south, you guys know where that is, that TIF district expired in 2020. The city of Pella reimbursed the developer at that time $1.6 million for the cost of the Roosevelt Road extension, and again, that $1.6 million was paid for with TIF. No taxpayer in Pella had any contributed anything to take care of that. So this smartly, and I give Mike credit, all of those TIF districts were combined into one TIF district. And coincidentally, and I didn't know this till I started going through this, but guess what the amount of development added up to for all of those projects? $130 million, just like we have $130 million going today. But here's the real good part about all of this and why it's a wise investment for the city to be involved in these projects. That project that was 20 years ago, since it's been, and as I said, as more development happened, the city's been able to capture the extra TIF along the way. $9 million, that TIF project, those TIF projects, and linking them all together, generated $9 million of excess TIF for the city of Pella. Where's that money gone? Does anybody remember the North Main Street renovation here a few years ago where the new street was put on Main Street? $1.7 million TIF revenue paid for that. Does anybody remember the Washington Street improvement where Washington was redone a few years ago, $2.2 million came from TIF revenue. Oskaloosa Street reconstruction, $1.95 million. Central Business District's improvements, $1.6 million. We just extended a bigger water main out to Fifield to have better water supply for development out on the west end of town, $1 million. And the south water main improvements, $500,000. So $9 million. That's $9 million that would have had to have been paid by the taxpayers. But because the city did these projects, TIF revenue covered all of the cost of all of those projects. So I can only imagine what the new round of TIF projects that we have going, what kind of excess TIF revenue we're going to be able to get, and how we can use that to fund a lot of projects around town. So I'm incredibly excited about the development that's going on. It's quite a list. And as Stan said, there's more to come, and I believe there's more to come too. So thank you for indulging me. I wanted to make sure and set the record straight so that there's a lot of misinformation floating around the community. And all I'm looking for is the truth. I want the truth to be out there. If you know the truth and you don't agree with me, great. Let's have a discussion. Let's have a debate. Debate's great. And I'm not gonna argue with lies and misinformation. So, all right, we're gonna move on to our, we're gonna adjourn to policy and planning sessions to discuss, which one are we doing first? Sign regulations?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.